Chadsville. It's KO4NUE. Name is Chad out of Liberty. How are you today, sir?
Good, Chad. This is Tommy out of Traveler's Rest.
Tommy, you're not too far away then, are you?
No, I don't think.
Name is Chad. I'm stationed this weekend up on Liberty, up in Liberty on 12 Mile River. I got a small deer camp up here and just come up here to relax on the weekends. And I live in Capabella, but like I said, me and my wife used to come up here on the weekends. And I'm a new ham, hadn't had my license long, and just kind of enjoying the hobby and just sitting up here enjoying this beautiful weather and heard you call and figured out, you know, be along for the ride today. So what's going on with you?
Left work and figured I'd just hop on here, see if anybody was on here myself. I'm a new ham myself, don't get on too much, but do a whole lot of listening.
I expect you can learn more listening than you can doing most of the time, but yeah, so how far drive you got?
I'll drive, but it's probably going to take me 20 minutes to get there. Traffic is getting pretty hectic between Greer and Travis Rest now.
I live in Capabella, and me and my wife went into town the other day, and Greer is awful nowadays. It's just like one morning I just woke up and it's just traffic everywhere, and Greer's never been that way, but here recently, I guess it's all these houses moving in.
There's not a good way for me to get home anymore. All these houses that's coming off 101's really got my route going home messed up. Can't go way to Hampton Boulevard because all the traffic and the red lights and the back ways of getting home are getting kind of crazy from all the subdivisions out in the middle of nowhere.
And you try to jump on 290 and head out that way or what?
Pull around 290 because 290 this time of day is just bumper to bumper, and I'm just kind of making my way around going down here by Lake Cunningham, and then I'll kind of cross over on Milford Church and then just try to sneak across 290.
Milford Church, that's, okay, well, I guess you know the best way, I guess. I think I don't need to tell you how to do that, but at any rate, so you don't mind me asking what you do for a living?
Technician. I've been with a dealership over here for about 30 plus years.
What kind of vehicles you work on?
Custom products, Jeeps, Dodges, Rams, a little bit of Alfa Romeos and Fiats.
I see. So, I'm retired military. I've been retired for 5-6 years now, I think, and was in a communication unit. Did 2 tours in Iraq, and I guess being around communication gear for so long, I guess kind of missed it, I guess, and decided to go get my ham license, that and a couple other reasons. But, you know, so far I'm enjoying hobby and, you know, just kind of interested.
Thank you for everything you've done for us. I'm sure you may be told enough. You might not ever be told enough, but like I say, appreciate the work that you've done for this country. And the communications for military, that stuff kind of interests me, thinking of, you know, how we kept secrets and how we do that kind of stuff during wars and stuff. That's pretty interesting.
I was in a heavy unit. It was called a heavy. We did long haul communications, tactical satellites, tropo scatter. We did some line of sight stuff with GRC radios, but we did just secure data. You know, you could put a little pipette in, and you could talk from terminal to terminal on a little, you know, telephone kind of thing, but we didn't specialize in voice traffic really. It was just secure data, just lots of it, you know. Basically a mobile internet and communication grid, that kind of thing.
Communication for the military's changed from the beginning to the end, that's for sure.
It's not a carrier pigeon anymore, if that's what you mean. It's changed quite a bit, and I'm sure the short time I've been retired, it's changed even more because, you know, everything's kind of software-driven these days. And, you know, that's just kind of changed when it started being software related and moved away from, you know, just pure RF kind of stuff. But still interesting nonetheless, and I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the people. I enjoyed what I did, and when I got out, I just thought, you know, hey, I'm just kind of coast around a little bit now, and but I don't know. I ended up back on the radio, and I think that's just hilarious.
There's nothing wrong being back on the radio. I really got into this because of COVID, because we couldn't really do much, and you know, the internet's been around so long, you kind of get bored with the way you communicate over the internet. This just seems to be old school way of doing things, and you know, I'm getting older and grew up around CBs but never really messed with them, but it's still pretty interesting that, you know, the RF radio is still out and about, still being used.
I retired. My dad's a retired welder, and we've collected tools over the years, machine tools and welders and things like that. So I'm a self-taught machinist, and I build engines and do engine work out of my machine shop in Campobello. And customers usually get with me, and I post videos of building their engines on YouTube. And, you know, I get the stuff that other machine shops just don't want to deal with. You know, right now I got an inline 8 Packard. You know, the stuff that's not easily replaced that machine shops just don't want to deal with, that's the kind of stuff I do. And then I'll film it and put it on YouTube so the customer can see it and that kind of thing, you know. But I'm slow and take my time and, you know, don't get no hurry. But this is KO4NUE, station ID.
In a YouTube video the other day of some old school way of repairing a crack on a block where they was putting little dowels and screw dowels, and it was pretty interesting, and I'll watch some of the stuff on YouTube myself. KO4KFS.
You're bored, and you know, you get on YouTube again, just check out, you just type in my name, Chad Hightower, and the channel will pop up. Last engine that the customer requested a build video was World War II Jeep, and a customer sent it to me from Germany, so I went through the whole engine build on YouTube so he could watch the videos. But I enjoy doing machine work on engines, and when I get them built, I put them on a test run, and I'll run them myself for, I don't know, usually around 8 to 10 hours, break them in and make sure there's no major problems with it, and especially oil leaks, because some of these people restoring these cars, you know, they got $10,000-$12,000 paint jobs, and you can't be dealing with an oil leak, scratching paint and all that. So I'll put them on a test bench and start them up and, you know, make sure everything's good to go.
find somebody in the next generation to teach this stuff to, because sooner or later one day we're going to need some people who actually learn how to repair things instead of just replace things, that's for sure. Now, I've been working on cars for 30-plus years, and it's for nobody, even manufacturers don't repair stuff anymore. They just replace.
Yeah, I think we're kind of like-minded, and I try not to do that. I mean, I've got a pretty modern truck. I got a 2500, but the older stuff, people just, I don't know, man. I don't know whether they just got so much money that they can afford to do that or just don't have the time to mess with it or what. But, you know, Dad always taught me is, you know, try your best to get it repaired and continue. And that's kind of what I do. So, you know, I enjoy the hobby. I enjoy working on engines and you know, I got, like I said, in the shop, I got a seat and guide machine to do head work. Got block mill, do block work. I don't do is crankshaft grinding. I'm not. Grinders are special people. I don't have a desire to do that, but everything else, I'll recondition the rods, got a rod hone, and get everything back right, you know. But I enjoy it.
High school, we rebuilt a little 302 in a car. I remember having to go into the machine shop, get all that done, rebuilding that little motor and letting her run. But nowadays, it's just, when something goes bad, just throw a whole reman in or throw a whole new engine in it. I mean, even dealerships, we really don't rebuild anymore. We just get a new unit and put it in. It's kind of a lost art, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. So last year, I did a 440, a Dodge 440. And a 446 pack, and man, I'm gonna tell you, I really enjoyed that. I usually move over to slow mo, big diesels and slow diesels and farm equipment and older engines like the Packards and flatheads and things like that. But I really enjoyed that 440. That was, man, that was something else. I really enjoyed that, and to put it on a stand and start it up and get to hear it and just feel that energy coming off of that thing, that was something else.
A good feeling sitting there listening to that sucker hum up real good. It's hard to beat a 446 pack, especially on the street. That's about the ultimate right there for driving around, having fun with off the racetrack, that's for sure.
I had a couple of dirt track drivers a couple of years ago. They come want me to build an engine, and I don't do work for dirt track drivers, man, because, you know, I never had any problems, but it's just, you do all that hard work on it, and then, you know, the fifth race, they just, you know, scatter it like a grenade, and they just bring it back in pieces, and it just, I mean, it just kills me. I just, like, my goodness, man, why would you do something like that? I mean, I had it running so good, but, you know, hey, I guess that's part of it.
Going to the dirt track races, there's nothing better than watching one of those, and I'm going to say this, and if I offend anybody, I'm sorry, but I'm one of them, but there's just something fun about a redneck blowing up a motor at a dirt track.
Exactly right, man. But, you know, it just, the driver and, you know, the engine builder, I guess they're just two different people, but my goodness, man, I just, last 2 years ago, I'd got bring one back and just, goodness gracious, man. I mean, there's holes in three spots in the block. I mean, my goodness, I never seen so much damage. But I mean, he was happy. I mean, it was just like that. Just my goodness, how can you be happy about this? Ain't nothing in here is usable.
I had a smile on his face. I know he did, because when they go up, they smiling and the fans are smiling.
You know, he just said, well, man, I almost had him. Just like, well, you know, you didn't quite make it, bud, you know, but I did the best I could do, but I don't mess with him no more, because it just, when they bring him back in pieces, man, it just kills me.
Lordy, that's funny right there, no matter what. I ain't going to make me want to go to the old dirt track this weekend.
KPK.
Before KPA.
Yeah, we listened to you guys chat a little bit, and I thought I'd make a little bit of a contribution. Years ago, I used to live up in the area above Travelers Rest, and they used to have a dirt track up there. It used to run on Saturday nights, Stamy Valley Raceway. I lived right down the road from it. And you talking about the good old rednecks having a ball, I'll tell you what, those guys used to really take it seriously.
That racetrack, I remember the place they called Riverside up there off of 11, and I've been up there a couple of times as a kid, and my dad saying, son, we got to go home. You don't need to be seeing this.
Yeah, I'm listening to you guys, Chad. I'm sure I'm probably a good 20 years older than you guys. That was back in mid-70s up to 80. They were still running on Saturday nights. It wasn't anything for me to go out on Sunday morning and find liquor bottles in the front lawn where somebody'd thrown one, but they had some mighty handy fights up there, and boy, they took their dirt track races seriously now.
KO4NUE, you guys give me about 2 minutes. I gotta make a telephone call, but I'm listening. Y'all go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to comment also that one fellow was saying that he works at a Chrysler dealership and works on diesel. I've got a Dodge Ram that I bought new in 2000. It's a 2001 model with a 5.9 Cummins in the 3500. It's got about 70-some thousand miles on it, and I figure another 5 or 6 years I may have to have those valves adjusted.
About every 100,000 miles to have those things done. You got an old 5.9. Son, you better keep that thing. Them things are, that's basically the best of the best right there around there. And you love that thing, don't get one of the new ones.
Yeah, I started to trade it about 4 years after I got it when they came out with the new ones, that 6-point, whatever it was. And the guy that I bought from was the fleet salesman also, and he was actually a friend of the lady I worked with at Bell South. And he told me, he said, you don't want to trade this. He said, you'll never get the same mileage you get. And I have gotten over 18 miles per gallon out of that diesel that I'm running. And I keep it in the garage. It looks like new. It really does.
And you, I'm back, fellas. I'm sorry about that.
I heard you guys talking about the traffic when I was living up in Stamy Valley, which is just before you get to 414 there, where 25 intersects. It's the road right before, if you're heading west, northwest, it's right before you get to the 414 intersection. But 290 used to be a breeze driving into Greer. There was nothing out there. But last time I was up there, which is about a year and a half ago, there was so much traffic, I was like, you know, it just ain't the same place.
The Hightower farm when I was growing up, it was all cotton up through there, and I don't know what happened, man. Over the years, it's just turned into development after development, and it's I guess it's all in the name of progress, I guess, but there sure is some bad things that comes out of progress.
Yeah, I think it all started when they first started the first cliff developments, and all the people with money came in and started building and buying, and all of a sudden, it wasn't enough that you were from there, that you lived there. You had to be somebody special. And I thought, you know what? They used to run dirt bikes up on Glassy Mountain, you know, years ago. When I lived up there guys used to run dirt bikes up Glassy Mountain, but I'm sure you can't get a dirt bike anywhere near there unless you parachute it out of a truck.
I guess probably 15, 20 years ago, the Glassy Mountain, where they, I know exactly where you're talking about, it had a big main access road, and it was pretty rough going up the side of the mountain. But now there's housing development up there, and then you got the cliffs of Glassy and all that. Nah, there ain't no way you get a dirt bike near there.
Yeah, we used to go up and sit on the side of the road. We'd park on Highway 11. We'd watch the people tote their hang gliders up there, and they'd hang glide off of, hell, they used to hang glide off the front of Paris Mountain back in the day. But we'd go up to Glassy Mountain because it was a better shot for the hang gliders and watch them hang glide down off of Glassy Mountain. But I bet you can't do that anymore.
Guys, I just pulled into the driveway, and I'm enjoying the chat. I'll leave this for y'all another time, and let me get in here and get everything ready just to go pick up my motorcycle tomorrow. Y'all be good. KO4KFS.
Now, landed strip there at the corner of 101 and Highway 11, where 101 hits Highway 11, right at that intersection. Every now and then, I'll see two or three hang gliders out there coming off the mountain, and they land on some personal property there, so I'm not sure if it's the property owner that's hang gliding or he's letting people do it, but they do still hang glide, but no dirt bikes.
Yeah, I know that. I used to ride my motorcycle all throughout the foothills up there and up in the mountains, but you used to be able to go up 25 and 11 and it was just nothing up there, but I go up there now and I think, all these developments, and they're high-dollar developments. It's not like they're for the average person. They're for the people that have whatever connection it takes to get that kind of money nowadays.
I've been here my whole life, which is 50 years, and we've been pretty isolated on Mount Lebanon Road, but since all the housing developments have moved in, I guess past 3 years, I've had Spartanburg County out there three times. We live a fair ways off of the road, and people pull in at the end of the driveway, and I don't know whether they're selling drugs or what they're doing, but I have to stay on top of it because people think that's a vacant road, and they'll just pull out there and just think they can do whatever they want. But I'm not going to tolerate it. I just, do what I got to do.
Well, you pretty much have to. I can recall some things that went on back then. I mean, shootings, and there was crazy stuff went on back in the day. But it was pretty much old-time feud. I mean, these people have been fighting one another for 30, 40 years. But I had a neighbor that was, he'd been a runner for liquor back in the day, and he served a little bit of time because the federal boys caught him, and he served, I think, 2 years. But they were just as good as gold, man. They were just good people. I used to watch after my son because I was alone parenting, and I had to work. He'd get home from school. They'd look after him just like he was one of theirs. Good people, solid-of-the-earth people. None of them rich. But now I bet you'd be hard-pressed to get some of those millionaire people to give a shit about you. Pardon my language. I'm sorry.
It's hard to find people like that nowadays. It really is. We've had a lot of trouble out at the end of the driveway, and I've had to put a gate up. We've never had any issue in the past, and I told Dad the other day, we live on the opposite sides of the farm, that we just gonna have to put a gate up because you don't know what's out there nowadays. Spartanburg County has told me that this is this KO4 NUE station ID. Let me let this repeater cycle. county is telling us that when the equestrian park moved in, and Tryon, and these rich people come from up north to live or spend the weekend at the equestrian park, they'll use the back roads to move drugs from the 85 corridor up to Landrum and Spartanburg area. And we're thinking, now we don't know this for sure, but we're thinking that started to be a drop point where they would stop and, you know, either sell drugs or pick up drugs and this, that, and the other. And I am not going to tolerate that. I'm not going to do it. And I've had to go out there several times, run people off and so on and so forth. But, you know, the last one we ran off turned out pretty interesting. But, yeah, it can be difficult to deal with.
Yeah, you know, you want to think that I was just a couple of high schoolers out there parking, but this day and age, they don't even bother to park. They just, you know, use their parents' basement. So if somebody's parking the end of your road, yeah, you got to pretty much pay attention to it. And you're right, you can't tolerate it. If you tolerate a little bit, you'll have a lot.
Yeah, well, we got a plan worked out where we can, me and the neighbor work together. He's got a long driveway, and I got a long driveway. We're both off the road. And when we know somebody's out there, he'll call me, and then I'll block the road off so they can't get out. And then he'll come up his driveway and hold them there until Spartanburg County gets there. And that's the way we've been doing it. And so far, so good. I mean, you got to be careful with that, too. But, you know, just go out there to defend your place if that's what you got to do. But I can't deal with stuff like that now. I can't do it.
No, you don't have to. The reality is, you know, they're not on their property, they're on yours, and they got no business there. So, you know, do what you got to do.
Yes, sir. I enjoyed the conversation. You down in the weeds, bud. I can barely make you out. But this is KO4NUE. Name is Chad. I'm 7-3, sir. Enjoyed the conversation, and have a safe trip.
My name is Mel. I'm in Prosperity, South Carolina, which is down below Newberry, about 10 miles. So I'm glad you're hearing me enough to at least have a conversation. Have a great weekend. KO4KPK.
NUB KO4PEA.
For PEA, this is KO4NUE. How are you, sir?
Ed, you were good enough to give me a reading on my little old new radio there a while ago. I'm on my base station now. What have you got on it?
If I could give you a suggestion, I would say either hold the mic just a little bit closer or turn your gain up just a little bit, and you have got just a small crackle in the transmission. I'm not exactly sure what it is. I mean, I'm getting you full power, but there is a little interference somewhere, but it's nothing that's anything to be concerned about, but I just gonna let you know that it is there.
I wanted to know because this is one that my radio that my brother gave me, and little ICOM 706 MK2. But it's all I've got on the 2 meters. I'm a homemade antenna that I made out of a piece of coax the other day, and that's what I'm transmitting off of. So that may not be enough.
All right, honestly, bud, I don't think I'd change a thing. I mean, there's a little bit of something in there, but you are very legible and very, very clean, and it could be just the time of day, or it could be some type of interference or something. But if you want to, I'll be here all night and all day tomorrow when the sun goes down a little bit. Give me a holler back, and we'll see if that straightens things out. But I don't think it's anything to worry about at all. It's no sense buying an antenna because you sound pretty clean.
Well, I made this one out of a piece of coax the other day. Saw a YouTube video, a guy was making one, so I thought I'd try that and see if that worked for me. I've got a wire antenna on my 80 through 10 meters, but this is just, I really didn't think I'd use the 2 meter much, but it's got to where I'm using it more so than I thought I would. So I appreciate the comeback there, Chad, and I'll holler at you later. KO4NUE, this is KO4PEA. Out on your ending.
PEA, I appreciate the conversation, bud. And if you got time, check back with me later on tonight. I'll let you know kind of what's going on. But I got a feeling that's gonna be day or something weird going on. It's awful crisp.
Appreciate the comeback. 73s. Have a good evening.
KCHCYB from OK8NWO. W. Vetcher.
OK8NWO from KCHZYB. Yeah, Dave, you're sounding good, man. No problem.
Okay, Jeff. It's nice to provide a reciprocal experience, except I'm on the other end of Echolink rather than you. You're sounding good here, and a very good evening to our listeners. Oscar Kilo 8 November Whiskey Oscar, about 120 miles east of Prague. Over to you, Jeff.
And yeah, I'm using the 7500 here on low power with the new J-pole finally up in the air, so hopefully it's sounding good on your end. Yeah, and if any of the local guys are out there, that's my buddy Dave. He's actually over in the city of Prague in the Czech Republic, so he wanted to check out the local repeater here in Greenville, so that's who we have out here, if any of the local guys are on the channel. But anyway, Dave, yeah, you can definitely tell that you're on straight echo link right now, right? And you're getting, like, a little bit of static in there, like you would be coming through on the 70-centimeter side.
From OK8NWO. Yeah, I quite frankly, it could be even on the repeater because there's noise coming through with you as well. And I'm not on RF, so maybe somebody else could drop in and explain it. But it doesn't matter. You know what? It's great that it's working, and it's good to hear you through the radio rather than on Zello. So, over to you, KKTIB from OK8NWO.
Transmission sounded fine. It just sounded like there was a little bit of static in there with you on the first one. Yeah, this is cool, man. And like I said, Pete, M1PJB, you know, he's over in the UK. He jumps out here from time to time and talks to a couple of local guys here, so... yeah, feel free to jump out here and give me a shout, man. I've always have this thing on monitoring on this one. Seeing it seems like it's the busiest one here in Greenville anyhow. But yeah, man, you're sounding good. OK8NWO from KCHZY, but you gotta pick it up, Dave.
Jeff, I'm on my telephone, which I don't like using. I'm gonna switch over to the ubiquitous Telo M5 because I've Echolink on that, but I'll have to log out of the other thing because of the, you know yourself. So give me a minute or two and I'll jump in on the Telo. I'm just curious if the audio is a little bit better. I'm not sure how it sounds on this. So give me a minute from OK8MWO.
No problem, buddy. Yeah, I'll be out here standing by. Go ahead and make the switch. I'll be out here. KAC8ZYB.
From OK8MWO. Actually, Jeff, it's like the APRS. I have to install it again. I forgot I'd flash the ROM. Okay, we're ready to go. Give me a second. I think we're in.
All right, buddy. Go ahead and do what you got to do, man. I'll be here. KAC8ZYB.
KC8CYB from OK8MWO. Jeff, you still there?
KC8CYB. Oh, yeah, man. You sound much better on the tello. Audio's much, much better. Go there, Dave. You still there? OK8NWO, KC8CYB.
Okay, Jeff, sorry. Because I've only just reinstalled Echolink, you know, the settings are all over the place. I hope the audio isn't too loud. Yeah, I figured, and I've just unplugged the charger, so we're running on batteries. So I hope that sounds okay. I'm not too distorted from OK8MWO in Prague.
It sounds good. Sounds fine, no problem at all. That's awesome that you have that on the tello. I mean, I know that's your favorite radio and everything, but yeah, man, it definitely sounds better than the cell phone for sure.
Okay, yeah. I made it just a 5-second video of you coming back to me. So I'll up it and so you can get an idea. You sound fine to me, but that's great. So it all works. So I shall probably join Pete when the time is good. I don't want to tie this repeater up too much. Obviously, I have no idea what time it is over there and what people are doing. So, but actually one other question is there another repeater in the district that would be less busy that we could try?
I don't know of any other ones that has EchoLink capability that I know of. There may be. I just don't know of any right offhand. I'd have to look it up in repeater book and see. If you want to meet me on the other one where we were at, I'll do some searching around, see what I can find out. And if there is, we can jump over there. Yeah, this is a super, super busy repeater. As you were hearing a little while ago, it stays busy. And here in another couple of hours, they'll have the big net going on. So, but anyway, yeah, man, thanks for jumping out here. You're sounding good. And I'll meet you on the other one and do a little bit of research here and see if there's another we can get into. OK8NWO from KCZYB here in Greenville, South Carolina. 7-3, my friend. Meet you on the other one.
From OK8NWO. Okay, yeah, good. Yeah, we'll jump over to the other one. And 73 is in, well, actually, it's morning here. It's 12:15. I should be in bed. I should be up at 7. So, everyone out there, have a really nice day and enjoy the net. Good evening from Prague. OK8NWO, off and clear.
Catch you in a few. KC8ZYB clear.